Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. A lot of spirited discussions. No softballs here today. We ran away from those, for sure.
Zero.
Let's bring in our buddy Brett Kern, former Titans punter, who is on the line with us. Brett, how you doing?
Good. You can still strike out with softball questions.
That's true. You certainly can. But, you know, we've
I've seen some pretty big whiffs on softball pitches back in the old Coach Fisher charity softball tournament. So a lot of back muscles pulled in that thing.
Hey, you've never ran away from the tough questions, Brett, and we always appreciate that with you. Let's start with Mike Vrabel to the Patriots. Your thoughts on that? It's obviously not very hard to figure out that that was probably where this was going to go when Gerard Mayo was shown the door after 1 year. But you played for him for a long time. What are the Patriots getting in Mike Vrabel as their head coach?
Yeah, I mean, Robert Kraft's probably pretty happy in the sense of, like, you know, I remember we were talking about first-round pick for Vrabel and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he was just kind of patient through the whole situation. You feel bad for Mayo because, obviously, he didn't have a great season this year. And, you know, it was kind of a bridge coach, which stinks, right? But, yeah, I mean, the Patriots, I mean, obviously, we know firsthand with when Vrabel was here, you know, they're going to get a team that's they're going to be situationally sound, right? Kind of know what to do. And in every situation, he's going to go over that stuff all the time. They're going to be tough, physical, competitive, all the words that he said in his interviews over the years, right? And so, you know, I mean, good for them. Good for the Patriots. He knows the culture up there. He obviously knows ownership, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, you kind of feel like, it was a match that has been, you know, kind of brewing for a long time, and now it finally happened.
Like I mentioned, you played for him, and I saw Taylor Lewan put out a video that I laughed at, but I thought there was some good stuff in there. I mean, like, he was probably telling some truths. You know, I know that he might have been tough to play for at times, but you guys also did a lot of winning. Him. I mean, you went to the AFC Championship game. You were the number one seed with 93 players on the roster. I think people might forget that sometimes, that that's pretty hard to do. And the fact that you had nine sacks in that playoff game. I know that, you know, Tannehill threw three picks, and that was tough against the Bengals. But I think people kind of forget that he was handed some tough situations, and yet you all did a lot of winning.
Yeah, and I think that just starts with, you know, how he prepared us. You know, like I said, I mean, his meetings, you know, I've been a part where coaches, some team meetings are 3-4 minutes long, right? And Vrabel's, you could pretty much account for, you know, half hour to 45 minutes. And Taylor was spot on. I mean, you know, you'd start to clam up, you'd start to get nervous because you didn't know he was going to ask questions about everything and everything. From, you know, who's the janitor's name to, you know, if you're on offense, what's the third special teams key? He just wanted everybody on the same page. He wanted everybody to be prepared. He wanted to know what other people's jobs were, whether you're on offense, you need to know defense, you need to know special teams. Like, we're a team, we're a unit. And he wanted everybody to be, like I said, on the same page, right? And so you would get nervous as all get out because you had no idea what questions were going to be asked. It could be, he could pop up a play from a game that happened 2 years ago and said, hey, what is this team supposed to do in this situation, right? And it might be a punt situation, and you're trying to bleep the clock to run the clock down, and he's asking an offensive lineman, right? And so everybody had to be prepared. Everybody had to know. And that's, you know, for me personally, that's how, you know, football, you start learning more a lot about football because you're learning, you know, all these things on offense, defense, situations, all that kind of stuff. And that was every team meeting, right? And so that's how he approaches things. And so when guys would come in, A, he had a way of motivating guys, right? Like, very, very next man up mentality. So if you were a starter and you were making $20 million a year and you got hurt, he'd look the guy, you know, that was on practice squad saying, I mean, he got hurt. Like, that, this is football. Everybody gets hurt. Now it's your turn. And he would have a way of motivating guys, you know, to go out there and try to make a name for themselves. So, you know, this is what the Patriots are getting. And Taylor's video was spot on. I watched that thing two or three times, just laughing and texting former teammates. And it's like, this video is spot on, Taylor.
We're talking to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, who spent, I guess, five seasons with Vrabel, right? 18 to 22. Is that correct?
That sounds right.
Yeah, with that. So I know you've said this before. Give me one time when Vrabel absolutely chewed your ass.
Oh, yeah. It was at Green Bay. It was at Green Bay on Sunday Night Football in the snowstorm, and there was no fans in the stands. And so everything, like, echoed through Lambeau.
Was that the first game against LaFleur?
Gosh, no, I don't think so, because that would have been 2020. Didn't we play them in – we played him in a preseason game, I remember.
Yeah, that's right.
Prior to that. But, yeah, that was just a moment where, you know, I didn't execute, you know, how he wanted me to. And he put very specific goals and expectations on players. And so, for me, it was, you know, I needed to punt that ball inside the 10-yard line. He didn't care if it was inside the 20, because that's what the NFL stat keeps. But it was inside the 10, because he would tell me, hey, if a team starts from the 10-yard line, you know, to the goal line, you know, there's only like a 4.2% chance that they're going to get any points. He's like, but if you go from the 10 to the 20, all of a sudden that bumps up to like 24% chance of points. And that's, you know, and he would go on about it. And it's like, yeah, okay. So I did not execute my job in that specific moment. And it rung through Lambeau. And I think it's still ringing in my ears today.
You talked about in the meetings with him. Tell me, do you remember the first meeting after he was announced as head coach? Because I'm sure he walked in, they all lay out their plan. What was it like the first time he came as head coach and spoke to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it was very straightforward that, you know, it's, people are going to get hurt, next man up. Our job here is to get, you know, younger, cheaper, better. I mean, he just kind of laid out what was in front. And guys were just like, you know, Taylor said in that video, like, you went in the locker room and you created like these little small groups of just like, what have we just experienced? What just happened? But it was consistent. I mean, that the meeting that he had, or, you know, our first meeting overall, was consistent through the whole time he was, you know, obviously a coach of the Titans. And so, you know, hey, our job is to go younger, cheaper for you older guys, right? You know, younger guys, go try to win a job, right? Prove that you can play in this league. And so, the meeting that he had the first go around, you know, that was probably repeated multiple times because the message was consistent.
Well, that's good. All right. I don't know if you've heard when Vrabel went to New England and the comments he made up there. Have you heard? You heard those, right?
Yeah, I remember. I think I remember talking about it on the show with you guys after it happened.
And yeah, just your thoughts, because we're arguing, you know, it's because at the time, you know, I think it was a slam at where he was. And the fact that he did that as head coach of another franchise didn't set well with me, but that's just me. What were your thoughts as a former player and a guy who knows Vrabel well when your head coach goes to another organization and says that? What's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, that has never happened, you know, when I was playing, that never happened in my career, right? And so, but, you know, I mean, congratulations to him for getting in the Ring of Honor, right? I mean, that's not easy to do, but, you know, I think his comments were, he was just expressing how he was feeling, right? And, you know, some people are going to take it one way and other people are going to take it another way. And I think that's how Vrabel works. He says things that make you think. Even in team meetings, it'd be the same way. He would say something and, you know, you'd be thinking about it, you know, 2 hours later or 3 hours later at practice. And, you know, that's just how he operates. So, you know, people might say, man, good for him. He spoke the truth. And other people might say, man, wrong. That's just not right the time, right? But Vrabel's going to say what he thinks and he's going to say how he feels. And, you know, obviously he chose to say what he wanted to say in front of, you know, in his ceremony. So, you know, that's Vrabel.
We're talking to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, here on the show. When you see the things that are going on with the Titans now, with everything with Ran and now Chad Brinker, and, you know, they're a GM search, and there seems to be weird things that happen behind the scene. I mean, things are not good. They got the number one pick. As a former player, you know, how much does that that suck and hurt you, because you put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this franchise. You went through some bad times with Wiz and Hunt and that whole era. So when you see things going on right now, how does it make you feel as a former player?
I mean, honestly, like, I think what you want as a player, or even somebody that's in that has a job, the business world, right? It's not just NFL, right? I think, you know, as a player, what you want is accountability, because as a player, you were held to such a high standard, and it was pretty clear cut. Like, was the punt good or was it not, right? Did I catch the ball or did I not, right? And there's obviously things that go a lot deeper, you know, blocking schemes and all kind of stuff. You do it right or not, but you know, you were held to a high standard, you know, as a player. And if you did it right, you kept your job. And if you didn't, some mistakes would get you cut. Some would, you know, you'd have to take, you might lose your starting role, but it was different, right? And I think you just want accountability. And I think you want that from the top to the bottom. And so when it starts to get a little murky, right, and as a player, you're held to a certain standard, and then potentially, you know, it starts maybe coaches. I've been on staffs where the coaches weren't really held accountable and they would just throw players under the bus. And that's a terrible feeling. You know, and then maybe maybe it's fine with the coaches. Coaches and players have a great rapport. And then you get, you know, into management and it's the same way. Like, there's no clear job titles. There's, you know, the accountability is not really there and it becomes mushy, right? And then all of a sudden people start pointing fingers at each other, and then that creates a toxic environment, which then leads to people not trusting each other, right? Where if you're accountable from the top to the bottom, everybody has a job title, you know what's going on, everything's happening, you know, that creates trust. And that's what you want. You want accountability, which then creates trust. And so I think as a player, that's all that you want, right? And so, you know, whether it's not, if it's just the Titans, there's other organizations, like, or in the business world, it happens. And so, like I said, as a player, you just want accountability so that you can trust the people that you're playing with. You can trust the people that are coaching you, and then you trust the people that are making the decisions that, you know, are above you. And I think that's what it really boils down to.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern on the Chase and McJoe Show. Brett, when you were released in 2022, that was under John Robinson. How did he do it? Did he come call you in his office? Did you meet in the parking lot? How did that all come about? I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of knew the situation, you know, with obviously Stonehouse and the way he was punting, and I was starting to get less reps, and you know, I knew what my contract was, and I had nothing, you know, I could get cut, and there was no cap hit or anything like that, right? And so I knew I had a pretty big target on my back, and you know, that last preseason game, I didn't play at all, and so I remember going over to, you know, one of John's assistants, and I said, hey, man, like, look, I know they're writing on the wall. I know cut day's Tuesday, but can you let me come in Monday so I can talk to John and I can just say bye to people that I've had relationships with for 13 years in that building, right? Instead of just, you know, coming in on Tuesday, you get your trash bag, you fill it up, you're in and out in a half an hour, and then that's that, right?
Right.
And so – you know, he was like, dude, of course, man. Like, you can come in Monday.
They did you right. I went in. I feel like they did right by you.
Yeah, absolutely. Compared to, like, you know, I was talking to my wife about it this morning. Like, in Denver, you know, my second year, you know, Josh McDaniels was – he had a lot of the power, right? And I remember getting cut and had my trash bag, and I'm coming out, and the GM is walking in from his car. He's like, hey, man, Brett, what's going on? I'm like, why do you got a trash bag? Like, he had no idea I was getting cut.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
And so, you know, you talk about, you know, we talked about earlier about, you know, management and who, what roles are what, and all the communication and all that kind of stuff. And it just, and when it's not there, the players see it, because here we are, you know, at Denver, 6-0. And then all of a sudden I get cut, and the players see that. They're like, well, wait a second. And it's no surprise to me, not because I got cut. Like, hear me on this. But when players see that kind of situation going on, there becomes a lack of trust, right? Like, oh, who's he going to do this to next? And so they went 2-8 to finish out the year. And that's no surprise to me, right? Just of how that works. But yeah, I mean, I went in, talked to John. We had a great conversation. We went and talked to Vrabel for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, another great conversation. And then, you know, I was probably there for an hour, hour and a half, just to go around to people that I love and adore over there that I've gotten to know over 13 years, and just tell them bye, tell them thank you for everything that they've done for me and to help me out in my career. and just, you know, give him hugs and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you get your trash bag and and off you go.
Yeah, Vrabel's telling J-Rob, this guy won't leave. How do we get Kern out of this damn building? He keeps hugging everybody. Let me ask you real quick. How was it with Vrabel, though? I mean, that was your last interaction, basically. Was he forthright? Was he sorry? Was he like, hey, thank you? How was that?
Yeah, I mean, he was just thanking me for everything that I'd done for him and just kind of being a consistent player, somebody that he could count on, and, you know, just kind of said, you know, business is the business. I was like, man, you know, I know this is the business. you've clearly outlined that they're trying to go younger and cheaper.
Right.
I get it. So, at least you're consistent with your message and you're actually doing it. So
I was going to ask you, in the back of your mind, were you going to get Taylor Lewan and were you going to have like a Tanya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing with Stonehouse?
No.
Because I think Lewan's the one guy that would have been on your side to take
this. Yeah, Brad,
this.
I got you, man. Come on.
No, I just, I mean, it comes to a point where you're like, you know, hey, this is the business. Like, they're trying to get younger and cheaper. And, you know, Stonehouse is like, you can't let somebody like Stonehouse just, if they would have cut him, he wouldn't have made it to practice squad. He would have gone to another team.
Right.
And I had 1 year left in my contract, and I was planning on retiring after that one. I wanted to finish as a Titan, but obviously it didn't work that way, and that's okay, right? But, you know, you obviously have a chance to get a punter of the future, and it just came probably a year earlier than they thought, right? And that's just a business. That's the way it is, and that's why, you know, every year you put in the effort, the work, all that kind of stuff, because you never know, you know, who's going to come up and try to take your job, right? And the moment you slack and you think, oh, hey, I made a Pro Bowl, I'm good to go, right, is the moment that you get caught, right? So I just kept grinding and grinding, and, you know, you just keep going because somebody like Stonehouse comes and it's like, yeah, hey, man, this kid beat me out, right? He's got a stronger leg. It is what it is. So, you know, as 37-year-old guy trying to compete with somebody that's 20, you know, three, it's hard. So, yeah. You know, that's part of the business, and that's the way it went.
Well, and look, you know, I remember us talking around that time too, and how crazy it was. And then you got to go play with the Eagles and an NFC championship, and they went to the Super Bowl and all that. So, you know, I'm sure that was fun.
I was upset last night because we were watching the game and that kickoff hit the wire and the kid got to redo it. And then, you know, I hit the wire in the NFC championship game and they said they had no evidence of hitting the wire. So the play had to count. So that was kind of frustrating last night. But I thought, you know, my goal coming out of college was to get maybe a workout. And I was like, man, I could play in NFL Europe. that's my goal. NFL Europe. And then what happens? The league dissolves my senior year in college. I'm like, oh, this is it.
Shout out to the Toledo punter who put on social media that he's declaring for the workforce. Was that the guy? Is that your guy? Have you seen this?
I don't know. I'm not on social media, so I have no idea. I have buddies that send me stuff, you know, send me the Taylor clip and all the funny things.
You're a smart man.
I send you other things.
People. Well, there's a Toledo punter who says, you know, people like, I've decided to declare for the draft. He said, I've decided to declare for the workforce. Here's my LinkedIn profile. Please, no questions at this time. It's well done. It's got, you know, a couple million hits on there. But shout out to the Toledo punters, man.
Hey, you know what? That's how we do it, right? We're hardworking, you know, guys that clearly know that we go to Toledo, right? So the odds of us making it to the NFL are pretty slim. So if I didn't make it to the NFL, I would have made, you know, one heck of a head caddy master at Imbrun's Golf Club. But
hey,
thankfully the NFL worked out. So
it all worked out for sure. Always appreciate it, Brett. And I know we'll be talking a lot during the offseason.
Sounds good. Y'all take care.
Yep. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us on the show. Always appreciate his insight because, look, he was there for a long time, you know, so he can give some insight that we can't get anywhere else. And, you know, I appreciate him for, you know, answering real questions. So
yeah, real questions, not just what books he's been reading.
Yeah,
I love the fact that it's funny that, you know, Vrabel just jumped him during the COVID game in Green Bay when nobody's there and you could hear it. Those moments are great. I love it when coaches just get on players that usually don't get harassed,
yeah,
like a punter.
For sure.
It's great.
For sure. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans and the Vrabel stuff. Also, another former member of the Titans is heading to New England, which I find to be interesting.
Uh-oh.
Discuss that coming up next. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.